The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
So, adios, Dr. Fauci. Did you see his final briefing yesterday? Did you see him tell everyone to go get vaccinated before going to Aunt Edna's house for Thanksgiving? Good morning. It's Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022, the day before Thanksgiving. I'm Paul Gleiser, sitting in for Mark Davis. I'd love to hear from you this morning at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. If you're out running around trying to get ready for Thanksgiving, take a moment and let us hear what's on your mind. In April of 2020, as the report goes, President Trump, after having green-lighted 2 weeks to flatten the curve, remember that? We're going to all take a two-week pause and just stay home and flatten the curve. That 2 weeks would turn into 2 years. After Trump green-lighted that, he had a tense conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the story goes. Anthony Fauci was the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. As the report goes, President Trump said, and this is a quote, "I'm not going to preside over the funeral of the greatest country in the world." Trump had been convinced that the only way to keep hospitals and public health facilities from being overwhelmed during COVID with COVID patients was to lock down the economy and keep people from having contact with one another. And as a consequence, you couldn't go to Easter church services that spring. You were told you couldn't have gatherings of more than 10 people. You were told that you couldn't visit your sick relative in the hospital. If, Lord forbid, your relative died, you couldn't hold a funeral. The economy, viewed by liberals as purely about money and the stock market, was pitted against public health. Our very freedoms were pitted against public health. And Trump, and indeed the world, was forced by people with health and medical credentials to pick one over the other. Never mind that it was a completely false premise. The economy isn't simply about money and the stock market. The economy is people's lives. The economy is the means by which people like you and me put roofs over our heads and food on our tables and put clothes on our backs. It's about making sure that our kids go to school and get a proper education. The economy is about people working hard all their lives and ending their working years with enough hay in the barn to sustain a comfortable retirement. The economy is about living life. The economy isn't about the avaricious making of money and thus subservient to public health. The economy is about life itself. Fauci's prescription for dealing with the pandemic, locking down the economy, will, when the final analysis is finally written by historians, prove to be one of the greatest policy errors in all of history. And to be fair and to be sure, it wasn't just the United States. Most of the developed world locked down their economies. Except they didn't really. They just locked down some of the economy. The economy brought the pandemic brought out the absolute worst instincts of the liberal ruling class. The concept of limited government went right out the window. Suddenly, elected officials like county judges right here where we live had power they never imagined. Most of them abused that power. Suddenly, government was getting to pick winners and losers. A giant retailer like, say, Target or Walmart was deemed to be essential, and those retailers were allowed to stay open. The children's clothing store in the very same strip center as the Target store was considered non-essential and thus was forbidden to open. the unfairness attendant to the fact that Target sold children's clothing, and you could buy children's clothing inside the Target while you were buying your essentials, while that independent small business next door couldn't open, was simply brushed off as the price of public health and the price of safety. Owing in large measure to the recommendations of Lord Fauci, we did something that was without precedent. Unlike prior pandemics, that we've had a lot of them, 1918, the flu epidemic, the most famous one, but we had epidemics and pandemics in 1929, 1940 through 44, 1957 through 58, 67 and 68, 2003, 2005, and 2009. Instead of isolating the sick, per the words of Lord Fauci, we isolated the sick and the well alike. It was former Indiana governor and current Purdue University president Mitch Daniels who put it quite well, speaking of the, quote, mad pursuit of zero. Mad pursuit of zero. Daniels said at Purdue's commencement on May of 2021, he said this is a quote, "Sometimes government leaders let what might be termed the mad pursuit of zero, in this case zero risk of anyone contracting the virus, block out other competing concerns like the protection of mental health, the educational needs of small children, or the survival of small businesses. Pursuing one goal to the utter exclusion of all others is not to make a choice, but to run from it. It's not leadership, it's abdication." Well said, Governor. Martin Kulldorff, professor of medicine at Harvard University, said this a couple of weeks later. This is a quote. "Ultimately, lockdowns protected young, low-risk professionals working from home, journalists, lawyers, scientists, and bankers, on the backs of children, the working class, and the poor. In the U.S., lockdowns are the biggest assault on workers since segregation in the Vietnam War. Except for war, there are few government actions during my life that have imposed more suffering and injustice on such a large scale," end quote. So we say goodbye yesterday to Dr. Anthony Fauci. It was a tense press conference, turned out to be, because he was asked, as in a random act of journalism, "So when are we going to actually dig into the actual source of the coronavirus? Are we ever going to be able to say out loud that it came from the lab in Wuhan in China, that China, the Chinese government, unleashed it upon the world? When are we going to admit that out loud?" And Dr. Fauci, how much did you profit personally from the pandemic? We're saying none of those questions were answered. He may have to at least address them and try to dodge them in the inevitable hearings that are going to take place when Republicans take over the House in January. We deserve those answers. But yesterday we said goodbye to Dr. Fauci. We should also say good riddance. But we're not really rid of him. It turns out that turning off the economy is pretty easy. Turning it back on, however, is an entirely different matter. The more than $6 trillion, all of them borrowed, that got pumped into the system to take the place of dollars earned doing actual economically valuable work, those $6 trillion are coming home to roost. Inflation, which had been under control in this country since the second term of the Reagan administration, is back with a vengeance. Those dollars, all that money, did you have the money just show up in your checking account because you filed a tax return? Did you get a check, an unbidden, unasked for, unapplied for check just show up in your mailbox? Did it at my house. I will confess, I cashed the checks. Those dollars created paper prosperity. That paper prosperity is now dissolving, leaving in its wake rising prices and declining incomes. We are 30 months into the longest period of declining real income since the end of World War II. We're into a health crisis, an education crisis, exploding national debt, 40-year high inflation, continued and seemingly random shortages of things that we need, dysfunction in the labor markets, a breakdown of international trade, a dramatic collapse in consumer confidence, and a dangerous level of political division. All of that, thanks to our response to the pandemic. All this damage was done in the name of containing the pandemic. But here's the hell of it. The pandemic came anyway. just as many of us, and I'm one who said this, including some of the world's preeminent epidemiologists, said it would. The pandemic came anyway. We had a model on how to do it correctly. We had it. It was the rising star Ron DeSantis of Florida who said, we are going to take a targeted approach to dealing with the pandemic. We are going to do what we have to do for the people that we know to be vulnerable, the elderly, the people with comorbidities, the people with pre-existing conditions. But the rest of the people in the Florida economy, go about your business. And everybody said that Florida was going to turn into a charnel house of death, and it didn't happen. Florida's results were better than most of the states, well, better than all of the states that locked down heavily. Florida's results were no worse. Florida was impacted by the pandemic, but their economy stayed open. And Florida rebounded quickly. And that was the way to do it. As I said, the pandemic brought out the worst instincts of big government liberals. Take the vaccine and you won't get the virus. Wear a mask and it won't spread for safety's sake. Keep your kids home from school. None of these things turned out to be the right thing to do. How many people do you know who got vaccinated and boosted that wound up getting COVID anyway? How many do you know? I know plenty. How many do you know? How is your third grader doing in school, having mostly missed the foundational instruction from first and second grade? For most of two generations, and here's the thing, for most of two generations, we have been told that a large active government populated by experts will look after us and protect us and maximize the quality of our lives. We have been told that the American economy must be led by a cabal of experts that know better than us how to lead our lives. We've been told that, and a whole lot of the American people believe that. It's simply not true, as was proved by what we did during the pandemic. Today, Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost you 25% more than it did a year ago. Today, there are still unexplained shortages of things we need in our daily lives. Today, business owners can't convince people that having a job is preferable to living on government benefits that were greatly expanded due to the pandemic. Dr. Fauci, the highest paid employee of the federal government, did enormous, unnecessary harm to the American people. Small business owners, the backbone of the American economy, were wiped out. Today, there are fewer active businesses in America than there were in January of 2020. Business births today still lag well behind business deaths. So where do you stand in the wake of the pandemic and the Fauci regime? 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. And here's the bonus question. The Christmas shopping season starts in earnest on Friday. We begin the sprint to Christmas on Friday. You can say it here on the radio, and maybe somebody who cares about you will hear it. What do you really want for Christmas? You can say it out loud, 866-660-5759. You can name names, 866-660-5759. It's Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on 660 AM. The Answer. We have more of the show coming up. 7:25, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer, Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Want to hear from you, 866-660-5759. We kick it off in Denton. D, you're up first on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning, D.
Good morning, Paul. You're my favorite fill-in host when Mark's gone.
Well, you're so kind to say that. Thank you.
Well, I was listening to you talking about the pandemic. Both my husband and I got vaccinated in the same week, and both of us still ended up coming down with COVID.
Did you get your required boosters?
Were you vaxxed?
Were you vaxxed?
I did not.
Okay, were you? But your husband was vaxxed and boosted, and yet he got COVID.
Yes.
Do you remember when President Biden said, "Get the vaccine, and you won't get the virus"?
Yes, I remember the liar in chief saying that.
Do you remember that? You know, and that's, listen, let's give him a little bit of grace. You know, nobody knew. It was, truth be told, it was Donald Trump who got the vaccine pushed through the bureaucracy in record time. It was It wasn't Biden's vaccine. It was Trump's vaccine. It was Biden and Kamala Harris who said, you know, it was Kamala Harris particularly said she wouldn't take a Trump vaccine. As soon as she got in office, she's telling all of us we have to take a vaccine. But the fact is, they're double talkers.
That's all they are.
Exactly. We're told by these government swells that they're going to take care of us and protect us. I'll give them a little bit of grace with respect to the vaccine, and I will even admit that there's some evidence to suggest that if you had the vaccine and you did get COVID, you suffered less than you would have had you not had the vaccine. It seemed to mitigate the symptoms, I mean, anecdotally. But I'll say all of that. Where I run afoul of what the government did, both under the Trump administration and Biden, is the total shutdown of the economy, or the attempt to totally shut down the economy, and the damage that it did, and the fact that the trade-off between public health and the economy was not seen as what it is. The shutting down the economy is going to prove to have done more harm than good, and nobody thought of that at the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was very fortunate. Where I worked, we did not shut down. We just had people working in shifts. And my husband, working at a hospital, he was essential. So he was there every day as well, except for when he got sick.
And how sick did he get?
He was down. My husband is a big, strong, healthy 50-year-old man. And to see him almost weak as a kitten and constantly feeling bad, that was just heartbreaking for me.
How long did it last?
About a week.
Okay.
About a week.
You know, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not. I'm going to go out there on a limb and say that the people that were going to die from COVID, it's unfortunate that anybody died from COVID. I'm not dismissing the tragedy of their deaths. I am not minimizing the human suffering that happened as a result of COVID, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was going to happen anyway.
Once
that virus got unleashed from the lab in Wuhan, China, it was going to happen anyway. What did not have to happen that happened is the enormous negative impact on small business owners, on school children, on the ability of people to live their lives and make their livings, and the enormous, huge precedent for the curtailment of our civil liberties without any operation of a legislature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everything you have said, I 100% agree with. The sad thing is, I know people who lost their businesses, who lost their shirts, basically, because they could not do business. And it was one of my friends, you know, she said, "Hey, I even tried to do this stuff online, and it was just a nightmare," because she was used to having a brick and mortar store.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Target's share price tripled during the pandemic.
Yeah, well, I don't do business with Target anymore for personal reasons.
Yeah, but I'm not singling out Target. I'm not calling Target evil. They stayed open. If I'd been told I could stay open, I'd have stayed open. But their stock price tripled. The store down the strip center, the independent retailer, went out of business.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
And we're living with the consequences of that today. So Dr. Fauci quit the stage yesterday, and I say good riddance to him, because he
you and me both.
He led us down the path. So D, what do you want for Christmas? You can say it on the radio. What do you really want for Christmas?
Well, I mean, you're going to call me an election denier, but I want to know what really happened with the 2020 election. That's
Santa,
what I want for Christmas.
Santa's probably not going to have that in his bag. That probably will not be in your stocking. I don't think Santa has that in his bag. The elves cannot cobble it together. Dee, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for calling the show.
You too, Paul. Thank you.
866-660-5759. More of the Mark Davis Show coming up after the news. Stay with us. It is 7:36 here on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. We're talking in the first segment, the monologue, about the enormous power that one elected bureaucrat lorded over us during the pandemic and the amount of damage that got done. We live in a country now where we have a fourth branch of government, the unelected branch. The bureaucracy is running the country, and we didn't elect them. And toward that end, we need to do something about it. On the line with me is Brian Harrison, state representative from Waxahachie. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Paul.
Howard, listen, you have introduced a bill. We talked about this. We live in a country now that is, at the federal level, the state level, we are answerable to people that we didn't elect because they write regulations that have the force of law. You are trying to do something about that. Talk to us.
Absolutely, Paul, and I'm so glad you're talking to your listeners about this. This is the biggest issue that nobody talks about. We are moving rapidly into a post-constitutional era, where unelected, nameless, faceless bureaucrats can both write and enforce law. Now, they call them regulations, but they carry the full force of law. You can get thrown in jail, you can get fined, you can get penalized, just as if it were a law. Now, look, our founders, as you know well, created a very high hurdle for government to act in such a way as to restrict freedoms or burden free Texans, free Americans. And you had to go through the House of Representatives, and they all had to agree word for word. Then it had to go to the Senate, and they would have to agree word for word. And then if it was the federal government, it also had to go to the president. But the problem is now, for every one law that Congress, so federally level, that Congress passes, for every one law, 20 federal regulations are issued by unelected bureaucrats that nobody knows who they are. They're not accountable to anybody. Nobody elected them. And that is quickly causing freedoms to be eroded. I mean, think about everything that Joe Biden has done. People are angry about, you know, the Biden administration, Keystone XL pipeline, the tyrannical COVID vaccine mandates, the student loan proposed law, everything he's trying to do with Title IX and ESG. Not one of those went through Congress, but they were going to carry the full force of law. And so Texas, I propose to build a rein in the regulatory state in Texas, because we've got to lead by example. It's not good enough for us in Texas to sit down here and complain and moan when Joe Biden and Democrats governed by executive fiat, if we let our executive branch state agencies do the same thing. So I introduced a bill to say every regulation in the state of Texas is going to sunset in 4 years if its necessity can't be proven and justified to the Texans back here at home.
So, okay, what kind of – it's House Bill 791. You filed it according to your release, you filed it, what, yesterday?
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right, so – how will it work?
And by the way, I'm following up on, in the Trump administration, I was the chief of staff at HHS, which is the biggest regulatory agency in the world. We sat on top of 20,000 federal regulations. That's how I came to be so intimately aware with the problems of the regulatory state. And so I actually put sunset provisions in all of those regs before we left. So what I did, as soon as I got down into the Texas legislature, I want to do the same type of deregulatory things we were doing in the federal government. And in Texas, there is already a requirement, at least a notional requirement, for all of our regulations to be reviewed every 4 years. The problem is there's no teeth in it. So what my bill did is it put teeth into that requirement. So if this review is not done, that regulation can no longer continue burdening any Texans. So I basically make that regulation expire automatically if it's not given a review. And then also I added some more rigor to the review. You've got to do a little bit more homework. And more importantly, speaking of homework, just like with my kids, you've got to show your homework. So you state agency, you can't just go through the motions and check a box and say, oh, I reviewed the regulation, it's good. No. You've got to put all your work papers, all your analysis, you got to post that onto your website. So that if you're a regulated entity in the state of Texas and you believe you're being unfairly burdened by a reg that wasn't reviewed right, my bill also gives you an opportunity to go out and sue that executive branch agency if you feel that they didn't do your review or if they didn't do it well enough. So I'm really trying to reassign the shift of power back to the people and away from the state.
State Representative Brian Harrison of Waxahachie is our guest here on the Mark Davis Show. So Brian, let me ask you this. Texas prides itself on being a low tax, low regulation state. Where do you think Texas is overregulating and overreaching?
Well, I'll give you one example, that a very recent one. Okay, so the CDC, as you and your listeners probably know, recently, in a purely brazen political and anti-scientific move, put the COVID-19 vaccine on the childhood immunization schedule. Okay, for no reason, a very just disastrous decision. But what the state of Texas did, unfortunately, not through our legislature, but through a state health agency, had on its website that every CDC-recommended vaccine was going to be required for every school child, every student in the state of Texas. Now, I highlighted that problem, and I worked with the Texas State Health Department, and I got them to rapidly, within a day, undo that requirement that they had on their website. But what I found out in that process is the legislature has given the power to decide any vaccine mandate now or in the future to one unelected health official in the state of Texas. So right now, the legislature has already outsourced its responsibility to making tough decisions on the issue of vaccine mandates to one unelected bureaucrat in the state health agency. I'm going to file another bill to specifically fix that. But I mean, also, Texas energy is a huge issue in the state of Texas. The legislature has outsourced their responsibility to the Public Utilities Commission. So how we are designing our energy matrix and our energy mix for the future, how much wind, how much solar, how much oil, how much dispatchable versus non-dispatchable, this is being decided right now as I speak by unelected bureaucrats, the Public Utilities Commission, and the legislature sitting on the sidelines instead of doing the hard work of coming up with our own reliability standards, for example. And then also during COVID, the Texas Medical Board, unelected bureaucrats, were going after and punishing doctors who were simply exercising their First Amendment rights to advise their patients or to prescribe potentially helpful FDA-approved drugs. That's not the appropriate role for unelected bureaucrats. So those are just a couple examples just right off the top of mind here.
Well, on that subject, because I led with Dr. Fauci's retirement yesterday. Thank God he's gone. but I had a rheumatologist. I own radio stations in Tyler, and I have a rheumatologist. He's a client. You know, he's been prescribing hydroxychloroquine for decades in his practice. He knows how to prescribe it. He knows its side effect profile. He knows which patients are appropriate for it. He knows which patients might not be appropriate. He says if there was a chance that hydroxychloroquine could mitigate COVID, it ought to be prescribed because the medical profession knows how to prescribe it. And yet he found himself in a position of perhaps losing his license if a patient came to him and said, I want HCQ. And doctors, again, bureaucracy stepping in and saying to trained medical professionals, you can't do this. And I'd like you to talk about that.
Well, I love the topic. I love it so much. I'm actually writing another bill. I have not announced it yet, but maybe I'll come back on and talk to you once I do announce it to go after that exact issue. We have got to protect the rights of doctors and patients to make healthcare decisions, not unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. or in Austin, Texas. And unfortunately, on both fronts, that absolutely did happen during COVID. So I'm going to file a bill to rein in the power of the Texas Medical Board, who was in fact going after doctors in the state of Texas who were doing nothing more than prescribing and practicing medicine to the best of their abilities, prescribing, in the case of hydroxychloroquine, by the way, a drug that has been safely used and approved by the FDA for over 50 or 55 years. So this was not some novel new experimental thing. And if there was a chance it could help and it was readily available and cheap and affordable and accessible during the pandemic, of course doctors should have been able to do that. And it's grotesque and unfortunate and needs to be prohibited that unelected bureaucrats were stepping in and stopping doctors from being able to practice medicine in the way that they see fit.
Well, all right. So what's the opposition to your bill? Because there's going to be opposition. Who's opposing it and why?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, nobody should oppose this. This is common sense.
But what opposition do you expect?
So, you know, listen, I say this to somebody who sat at the top of the largest executive branch agency in the world. So my guess is some people in the administrative state in Texas, some of the unelected officials, some state agencies might recoil at the notion of having increased transparency, of having sort of hey, additional steps they've got to do to continue regulating Texans. I could see them not loving it, but let me tell you who I do believe will love it, 30 million Texans, who are sick and tired of having unelected bureaucrats tell them how they can run their lives, how they can run their small business. I mean, shutdowns weren't done by legislatures. That was done by executive branch actions. And think about the future, too. I mean, we've got so much executive power. The legislature's handed so much power to the executive branch. I mean, what if, and I know Beto, thank God, was defeated. But what if one day we have a governor like Beto, okay, who comes in and says, you know what, I think I agree with the CDC. Guns are a public health issue. I'm going to declare a public health emergency, and I'm going to confiscate your guns. Under current Texas laws and regulations, that might well happen. We've got to curtail this. So I think Texans are going to support it. Perhaps some unelected bureaucrats won't like it. But outside of those bureaucrats, I don't really know where opposition would come from. This should be uncontroversial, and by the way, it should be bipartisan.
I agree, but what kind of support do you have in the House leadership in Texas?
We'll find out very soon. I just filed the bill yesterday, and I can tell you just from the responses, at least on social media, from the people I care about the most, which is real Texans, they love this.
Well, I wish you every success. I believe in the smallest government possible, consistent with protecting the peace and acting as impartial referee in the conduct of commerce. I want the smallest government we can possibly have.
100%. And in fact, when I'm out there, when I was campaigning, I used to end most of my speeches by saying, "If I'm running for office for sort of one reason. I want to make government as irrelevant to your life as possible so you can be as free as God meant for you to be." And I tell you what, the out-of-control administrative state is the number one threat to that, because as our founders understood, government should only govern at the consent of the governed. They enshrined that in our founding documents. And you cannot govern at the consent of the governed if the governed, so the people's representatives, have been disempowered. And that's what's happened. I have the honor of representing 200,000 Texans in the Texas legislature. But if I'm not the one making laws, if unelected bureaucrats, who, by the way, Texas is supposed to have a part-time legislature. We don't really have a part-time legislature. Your representatives only work, you know, every other year for half a year. But unelected bureaucrats, they work year-round. And they crank out those laws and those regulations 24/7, 365. So we really have a threat to our federal and state constitution that has got to get reined in by the unaccounted, unelected, bureaucratic administrative state.
Have you attracted any co-sponsors yet?
No, but that process really starts once we go in session, starting in January.
Let me ask you, since I've got about a minute left, on kind of off the topic of why you came on this morning. Texas is sitting on what? What's the surplus? $20 trillion. How much money is the state sitting on?
Yeah, it's
20 billion. I mean,
yeah, 27, 28 billion. It might actually be higher by the time January gets around. It's huge.
Okay, that's our money. What are you guys going to do with it?
I want to give it back to you. It is your money. It's the money. It is the treasure of 30 million plus individual Texans. Okay, we've got it. It was a surplus, which means we didn't need to take it in the first place. I want to give it back. That's my number one priority. That should be our goal.
In the form of a tax refund, or in the form of abating future taxes?
So honestly, I want to get it back into your pockets as efficaciously as possible. So I think probably property tax relief is the biggest and best tool that we've got to get money back in the pockets of Texans who earned it. They should get the fruits of their labor. The state of Texas has it. It's their money. I want to give it back to them.
Well, I wish you every success in that, and particularly on the subject of property tax, because, you know, we have – that can has been kicked down the road for how long now in the state of Texas?
A generation.
Yeah, a generation we've been kicking that can down the road, and we still haven't figured out how to properly fund schools. And I live in a school district where 70 cents of what I pay in taxes to my school district leaves.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. I think property taxes are unethical. They're immoral. I look forward to the day when they are in the history books in the state of Texas. We need to abolish the property tax system and get it to something that's much more equitable. We've been trying to reform it. I don't see much success to show for it. So I know a lot of people get concerned when you start talking about bold ideas. But I think we need to abolish property taxes in the state of Texas. I think we can do it. There's a lot of proposals we're looking at right now. But I think they're just an unethical and immoral way to take money from people.
Brian Harrison, Texas State Representative, District 10, Waxahachie. Listen, Brian, I appreciate you taking time to come on the air this morning.
Hey.
And I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoyed talking with you, Paul, and happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Hey, before you run off, we have a bonus question here we ask. I always do a bonus question. My bonus question, you're right on the radio. You can say it out loud. Nobody has to guess. What do you really want for Christmas?
Oh, my goodness. What do I really want for Christmas?
What do you really want for Christmas?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know. I want a day full of peace with my four children who are under 8 years old. And for help and spending time with family.
Very good. Representative Brian Harrison, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Paul.
Have a happy holiday season. More of the Mark Davis Show coming up after the break. I hope you'll stay with us. 7:57, it's Paul Glaser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer from the Patriot Mobile text line at 866-660-5759. We have this. If the state gives up the surplus via property tax relief, I bet you $1,000 my rent won't go down. Well, okay, maybe it will, maybe it won't, but let me respond by saying this. It might not go up as fast as it would have otherwise, because when you lower the tax burden on the economy, all kinds of great things start to happen. When the tax burden gets lowered, capitalism kicks in. When the tax burden gets lowered, self-interest kicks in. And that means that I got a property owner, he has a piece of property, his tax burden is lowered, he can afford to offer lower rent in competition against the guy down the street who's also leasing property. So don't underestimate the beneficial effects of reducing taxes and reducing the burden on the economy that taxes represent, because you saw what happened when Trump got his tax bill through. You saw what happened to the American economy in the wake of that. It was magical. It was magical when Reagan got it done. It was magical when George W. Bush got it done. It was magical when John F. Kennedy got it done. Reduce the tax burden, great things happen. 866-660-5759. Paul Glaser sending in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer, the news, the top of the hour next, and then more of the show. Hope you stay with us.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.